Thoughtful viewers, today on Science and Spirituality we present the first in a three-part series featuring acclaimed British scientist, author, visionary and lecturer Dr. Jude Currivan, who has learned that science and spirituality can be viewed as two sides of the same coin. Having experienced multidimensional realities since the age of four, Dr. Currivan was guided to pursue a career that integrates the latest developments in science, universal and ancient wisdom, and new revelations about a conscious universe with no boundaries between science, spirituality, and everything else. After conducting research in ancient cosmologies, Dr. Currivan received her PhD in archaeology from the University of Reading in the UK. She also holds an MA in physics from Oxford University, UK, with a specialization in cosmology and quantum physics. Dr. Currivan is the author of The Wave, The Eighth Chakra, and Cosmos. In addition, in 2008 she co-authored the CD set Heart, Mind and Purpose, which highlights her teachings. Her books have been published in over 14 languages. Dr. Currivan's work involves empowering others, raising awareness and facilitating global harmony, creativity, sustainability and wholeness. She speaks regularly at global conferences and appears on US and UK media outlets. Now let's hear from Dr. Currivan about how she began her search to comprehend the inner workings of nature and the universe.
I was 4 years old and growing up in the north of England in a very working class area and environment when a discarnate light literally came into my bedroom, and that really began a lifelong quest for me to answer two questions. One, how the cosmos is as it is, and secondly, and perhaps more importantly, why is the cosmos is as it is. And so I became very interested in ancient wisdom and also science from a very early age. And for me, they were never separate. They were always two halves of the same coin, or two faces of the same coin. Science was trying to understand how the universe or cosmos is as it is, using scientific methods, but also as experiencing how the world is. And that led me to the deeper question of why is the world as it is. And that's the journey I've followed ever since.
After this auspicious beginning, Dr. Currivan pursued academic knowledge and a career in business, which she views as a practical, educational phase of her life that helped enhance her skills and understanding.
So I studied science, I studied ancient wisdom, I went to university and did a master's degree in physics and specialised in quantum physics and cosmology. And then I went into the world of business for a whole raft of reasons, but I think that when I now look back, I have a very strong sense that for all of us, nothing's wasted. I studied for a PhD in archaeology because I wanted to have a credibility to explain ancient wisdom, ancient cosmologies, ancient ways of looking at the world, universal wisdom, perennial wisdom that's as relevant today as it was 2,000 or 5,000 or however many thousands of years ago, and somehow bring that all together with the leading edge science that was really beginning to go beyond what I feel had been a limiting perspective of the world for a long time. So what my work does now is it brings together leading edge science, universal and ancient wisdom, and new revelation, and sets that in a context of a conscious universe, of a conscious cosmos, where there is no separation between spirituality and science. There's no separation even between body and mind, body and soul. It's an emerging vision where everything is becoming integrated, and it's an empowering vision because what it's showing us, and its discoveries are showing us, is that we're not just the creation of a cosmos, we are a co-creator of our realities. And that, I think, is incredibly important at this moment, because that old limited way of looking at the world as materialistic and essentially random and meaningless has brought us to the edge of an abyss. It's brought us to the edge of a global breakdown.
As a scientist, especially in the quantum theory, could you explain more about non-locality and quantum entanglement? How does physics explain that our intentions create our reality individually and collectively as a human race?
I would say at the moment that quantum physics is in a dilemma because it's an unfinished revolution. Essentially, nearly a century ago now, there were two amazingly powerful insights into the physical world. One was insights into the world of the very small, the quantum world, the world of the minute, subatomic world. And the other insight that was happening around the same time was the insights of Albert Einstein into the large-scale world of space and time. And both were crucial insights, but neither spoke to the other. Quantum physics is very good and was very good from the beginning of beginning to describe the world at the tiniest level, but it has no concept of space or time. And the large-scale world, the relativistic world of Einstein, isn't quantized. And so the two don't speak to each other. The two haven't spoken to each other. They've rather been like strangers dancing around each other for almost a century now. And the last period of time, that's 8 or so years, has been trying to get them to come together. And so far without success, because I feel that there's a massive piece of the equation that's missing, and that is consciousness. And the reason for that is that when the quantum physicists were starting to get the insights to the quantum world, it became very clear that one of the basic tenets of the scientific method, which is to separate the observer and that which is observed, had to be thrown out of the way. Because what became clear is that when we observe something, we affect it, we influence it, we alter it. We cannot not do that. That is intrinsic to our observation. It's even intrinsic to our intention to observe or to measure. And so we cannot separate the observer and the observed. But the other deep insight of quantum physics that again was barely understood was this phenomenon called non-locality. Because for Einstein, nothing could go faster than the speed of light. That was the whole basis, really, of relativistic theory. And yet here we were in the quantum world having situations where two particles, and firstly it was a theoretical presumption that just came out of quantum physics because nobody had the experimental ability to prove it. But nonetheless, quantum physics, quantum theory said categorically that if two particles were created as twins, then they could be separated for whatever distance, and in fact whatever time frame, not just separate in space, but separate in time. And what that so-called non-locality showed is that quantum particles, even though they may be separated by millions of miles or millions of years, and this is what very few people really understand, can nonetheless be non-locally connected as a single entity, because literally there is no signal that goes between them. So on a deeper level of reality, they are conjoined. Now, eventually theory became experimental reality in the 1980s, when it was shown that indeed non-locality is a real phenomenon. But then the physicists said, well, that's fine, but it's got to be limited to the quantum world. It's got nothing to do with everyday life.
Dr. Kuravan will next elaborate on how advancements in physics in recent decades have increased our understanding of the intimate interconnectedness of all elements in the universe.
But over the years, experimental techniques improved to the extent that organic molecules have now been able to be non-locally entangled. And when you get to the scale of an organic molecule, you're so big compared to quantum that essentially and theoretically there should be no limit to the scale of non-locality. And what is now, I think, far more exciting than arguments about scale of non-locality, is growing, accumulating evidence of our consciousness being connected on non-local levels. In many different experiments and what's called meta-analyses of experiments, in other words, thousands of experiments pulled together and statistically analysed to show whether something is real or not, something is significant or not, has shown that psi-phenomena effects such as telepathy and remote viewing are non-locally real. In other words, we are able to be, and we are indeed, interconnected on non-local levels. So we're not just talking about a quantum phenomenon here. We're talking progressively, and this is something that leading-edge science is becoming more and more accepting of. The entire universe essentially is non-locally interconnected at its most fundamental level. We truly are a whole world. And what that is very important for is actually progressively showing that there is ultimately no separation between me and you, and me and we, and us and the Earth and our solar system, our galaxy. Ultimately, our entire universe is an integral entity and is undergoing a process of evolutionary development as a single entity. So non-locality at the beginning was almost an inconvenience to the quantum physicists. And this whole concept of observer-observed was almost an inconvenience. Those two are the keys now to a much greater and deeper understanding of the nature of reality itself.
Dr. Carvin, we thank you for your profound insights on the interplay between modern science, ancient wisdom, and human consciousness. You and other scientists like yourself are playing an important role in informing people that there is far more to the universe than just the physical surroundings we perceive. For more details on Dr. Carvin, please visit www.judecarvin.com. Books by Jude Carvin are available at the same website. Please join us next Monday on Science and Spirituality for the continuation of our three-part interview with Dr. Carvin. Genial viewers, thank you for your presence today on our program. Coming up next is Words of Wisdom after Noteworthy News. May the world always live as one united family.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/SS